Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Man, Billy put the pressure on me, didn't he? Got to bring it. I'm going to be especially watching for those sleeping this morning. I'm just saying. I may call you out, so be careful. Glad that you're here with us this morning and brave of the rain. It's good stuff, huh? We're supposed to have some more this evening, right? So we're excited about getting some rain. We need that. Always, you know, a few years ago when we had the Pray for Rain campaign going around town, we had the signs and everything, and we exceeded 40 inches, which hadn't happened since 1952 or something like that. And it was just raining and raining and raining, and I had somebody tell me, he said, stop praying, we've had enough. And I said, you're never caught up in West Texas. You're never caught up with rain. So glad that you're here this morning, and if you are visiting with us this morning, if you're our guest, we hope that you feel like our guest this morning and feel welcome. I hope you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. I'm actually going to be preaching about that today. Hope you feel that and also feel the love of His people. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you, a white card, and it's kind of a multi-purpose card that we unveiled a few weeks ago. But one of the things you can do on there is if you are visiting with us this morning, you can check the box, I'm new to Wiley Methodist, and let us know who you are. You don't have to do that, but I would love to know that. There's a place where you can put your email on there. If you'd like to be on our email list, you can do that. And at the end of the service, I'll be out here in the foyer. Would love to meet you, bring your card with you. And I've got a free gift for our guests. And every once in a while, I have a member slide in and want the free gift, but it doesn't work that way. So hope that you will do that. And if you don't want to come out and meet me, that's okay. You can just leave the card there in your seat. Either way is fine. And also keep the registration pads going. So turn with me to Galatians. We had a few years ago, Galatians chapter 5, we had a few years ago where we did a t-shirt, and it had a quote from Galatians in it, and I took it to the t-shirt shop, and I had it all written out, here's what I want, and I had the Galatians on there and everything, and when I got it, it said Galatians, T-I-O-N-S, and you know, oh man, that's not right, and so I went back, and they'd printed like 100 of these things, and I felt bad, and I said, there's a typo here, and went over it, and I mean, the lady, she put a big box around it, and to get it right, I went back and picked up the new batch, Galatians, T-I-O-N-S, is it still there? I kind of went, it's okay, it's all right, we'll stick with that. But it's spelled, it's talking about the church in Galatia, okay? So chapter 5, beginning in verse 16, these are the words of Paul. And he's been talking, I kind of set this passage up, he's been talking about this whole idea about circumcision or not circumcision, the law, obeying the law, and all of these things. And the Jews who had come to Christ were trying to tell the Gentiles, you need to be circumcised, you need to do all these things that we've been doing. And Paul had been saying, it's like, no, you know, in Christ, there's freedom in Christ. We're not bound to that anymore. That's kind of setting the stage in verse 16 as we begin there. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit. I'd really like to read that again, if that's all right. The sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit. Anybody relating yet? And the Spirit... And notice, it's big S, speaking of the Holy Spirit, what is contrary to the sinful nature? They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Now, this is not an all-inclusive list. He's kind of saying, we know when we sin, right? We know when we're sinning, but he's not... They're obvious, but here's a few of them. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. He's saying, like, there's more, but there's a few of them. I'm pretty sure we can all find ourselves somewhere in that list, something we struggle with. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We have invited you. Teach us about yourself. Show us things of the Spirit. Speak to us in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So I heard about this children's Sunday school class they were talking about God and they were trying to just learn more about God. And so the teacher decided that we're going to recite, teach them the Apostles' Creed, which we say most Sundays. Rather than trying to teach them this big, long creed all at the same time, she would take one child and she would have them responsible to say one sentence of the Apostles' Creed so that they would learn it better. And so this particular day, she had the children line up and they knew their part. And this first child stepped forward and said, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth." And he stepped back and another child stepped forward. "And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit." That child stepped back and another one stepped forward. "Born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried." Another child stepped forward and said, "The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty." Next child stepped forward, "And thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead." And there was a long pause. And they kept waiting and waiting. And finally, one of the little boys in the back raised his hand and said, "The little boy who believes in the Holy Spirit isn't here today." That I got a couple of chuckles. So, do we believe in the Holy Spirit? It's amazing to me, and this is not, my mom's here, and this is not her, but because I was raised in church, I should have known. But I remember when I really came to a deeper understanding of the Lord, I just didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. That was foreign stuff to me. I didn't understand anything about it. So we're gonna spend some time today looking at the Holy Spirit. And we're going to continue the series about the Apostles' Creed. We Believe is the name of the series. We Believe. And today's message is in the Holy Spirit. Now, so let me start off with kind of as we start looking at this passage in Galatians, we have to understand that whether we believe it or not, or whether we want to believe it or not, there is a spiritual battle against our sinful nature, the flesh, and the Spirit. It's going on right now with every one of us. It's going on in our culture. It's going on in churches all over the place. It's going on in Christians. It's going on in non-Christians. There is a battle between the sinful nature and the flesh. Paul states it very clearly in chapter 5 that we just read, verse 17. "For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit." They don't mix. They don't mix. They're separate. And the Spirit, what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict, Paul says, with each other, so that you do not do what you want. So if we don't understand that, then the rest of this is going to be meaningless to us. If we don't understand that we are in a battle, and I'll tell you, most of that battle takes place somewhere between our ears, right here. I mean, it's these thoughts, It can be thoughts about how we feel about someone else. It can be thoughts about how we feel about ourselves. It can be thoughts about how we feel about God. The sinful nature and the spirit are in conflict with each other. If in your bulletin, there is a yellow handout. I'm not going to go over this in detail. I printed this again. I've preached through this in the past. I mainly want this for you to have access to this if you've never seen it before. I put this together a few years ago, and this you can't contain the Holy Spirit on a double-sided yellow page. Did you know that? This is just some of the things that we know about the Spirit from God's Word, and I'm just kind of hit some of the high points here. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit, God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, so it's the triune God. We understand that Jesus was conceived by the Spirit. He was empowered and led by the Spirit. He was empowered to go to the cross on the Spirit. He was resurrected by the Spirit, and he sent the Spirit at Pentecost to not only be with us, but to dwell in us. He is our deposit, the seal on us. And then flipping on the backside there, just he provides all these things. He provides peace and power and truth. He's our counselor. He convicts us of sin. He's our teacher. He provides encouragement and growth. He helps us in our weakness. He intercedes for us to the Father. And I've said this before, but I think I can't recall a week in preparation for a message that I've never prayed this prayer. I think I've done it every week. And the prayer before I even start putting it down is I pray, Holy Spirit, intercede from me to the Father. Make my heart his heart. Make my mind his mind, and make my words his words. I don't want to say something that's just Jeff. I'm attempting to harness the Holy Spirit and to have him intercede and to provide his words to you. He gives us gifts. He matures us. He purifies, sanctifies us. He brings glory to God. He builds up the church. And some of this I'm going to hit in my sermon. But I want you to have that. I would encourage you to stick that in your Bible. And when you're kind of maybe just seeking the Lord, look through that and see if the Lord doesn't speak to you through that. All right. So there's this battle going on. First of all, we believe that the Holy Spirit, it's not just out there somewhere, not just with us, but is in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. That's why that's in the Apostles' Creed he lives in us. He's sending to live in us. Jesus said these words in John 14, "The world cannot accept the Spirit of truth because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you," and he's speaking to those who have faith in him, "but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." He doesn't just hang out with us, and we don't just, you know, we invite the Holy Spirit to come and manifest himself with us as we worship together. But if we are a believer in Jesus Christ, we're carrying him around with us. Did you know that? Shake your head if you kind of know what I'm talking about. We carry him around with us, God with us. Now, I could preach a whole series on this topic, but I'm going to, for just a second, in the Old Testament, God's presence was, they had the Ark of the Covenant, they had the Ten Commandments in there, and the presence of God was in the Ark. As the Israelites were traveling, they had a tabernacle that they built. It was kind of just a tent, basically, and it had this separation in the back of it. It had this, the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant resided, and God's presence was in there. Now, ultimately, Solomon built a temple of stone, mortar and stone, and created the temple where the Ark of the Covenant resided in there. But there was this curtain that divided you, and the high priest that was could go in once a year, and it required sacrificing of blood, and some of the blood went on the people, and some went on the priest and the tabernacle on the Ark of the Covenant, And so there was blood to enter, and there was all these purifications and so forth that had to go on. But there was this curtain that divided when the priest went in. He went in behind the curtain to the Holy of Holies where God's presence was. When Jesus died on the cross, the temporal curtain tore. What's that about? It was God was saying, you now, through the blood of Christ, you now have access to me. Direct access. You no longer have to have this high priest that does all of these things and that can go on your behalf and ask for forgiveness of sins on your behalf. No, Jesus is now the high priest. And by his blood that was shed, the temple curtain was torn, and we now have access to God himself. Again, I could preach a series on just that right there, but I'm trying to give us a flavor of how we now have access to the Father through the Holy Spirit that lives in us. And in 1 Corinthians 3, it says this, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? There's no longer, God doesn't just reside in this stone temple. He resides in this temple. That's pretty cool. Is anybody with me on this? That God sees us worthy to be his temple. Man, that's crazy to me. Because I know me. You know you? Most of you are going, yeah, I know you too, preacher. And that is crazy. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? That's in God's Word. I didn't make that up. God's Spirit lives in us. Secondly, we believe that if the Holy Spirit lives in you, you can live victoriously. We're no longer just these helpless little lambs wandering around without a shepherd. We have God himself has made his home in us, and that allows us to live victoriously. Listen to the passage that we looked at today. So I say, live by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. So when we are living, when we have the Holy Spirit, and when we are living that, when we are walking it out, we will not be gratified by the desires of the sinful nature. Now, it doesn't say that you won't be tempted. If we're truly walking with the Spirit, we can set the flesh aside and walk in the Spirit. 2 Timothy, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Now, man, don't we need more power, more love, and self-discipline in our world, in our churches? Don't we need that as Christians? In Acts, Jesus, before he ascends to the Father, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Now, I don't know about you, but man, I need it every day. I need the power of the Holy Spirit living in me to resist sin, to resist anger, resentment, unforgiveness, all of those things that struggles with the flesh, all of those things, we need power from the Holy Spirit. Well, guess what? We've got it. If we have the Holy Spirit living in us, we can live victoriously. Third thing, if we believe that you live victoriously, then your life will bring glory to God. I was visiting with someone this week that's not a believer that was talking about someone that had said to them just recently, they said, he knew them from 30 years ago, this person, and they said to him, he's bringing up things from the past, and he said, I'm not like that anymore, I'm living for the Lord. And this person I was talking to said, I hadn't seen that. He professed it, but he said, I haven't seen that. If the Holy Spirit lives in us and we are living victoriously, we are walking, that doesn't mean that we're never going to make a mistake, but I think people see a changed life. We see a changed life. You see someone. I hope that people that knew me 30 years ago see something different in me. I hope they do. If we live victoriously, then our life will bring glory to him. The Holy Spirit, Jesus says, will bring glory to me. There's There's an end purpose for the Spirit just dwelling in us is to bring glory to God Himself. And this is a passage I encourage you to commit to memory. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. See if I can do it. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. And it's almost got a rhythm to it. As you're learning it, I encourage you to do that. If the Holy Spirit is living in us, and our life is bringing glory to God, then that kind of fruit is going to kind of ooze out of us. People are going to see this a lot more than they see the anger or the unrighteousness that we battle with the flesh. Being inhabited by the Holy Spirit should bring God glory. Now, Jesus, he's talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Nicodemus is a Pharisee that's come, and he comes to ask Jesus some questions. Before he just shows up, before he even gets a question out, Jesus starts launching into this thing he tells him. I can just see Nicodemus like, huh. And then that sometimes happens around my house with my wife. I go to ask a question, and then she answers it before I even. Anybody else married that does that? I'm like, did you? She's like, yeah, I've already paid that bill. I've already done that. I didn't even ask it. Yeah, I know, but I know that's what you're going to ask. Like, that's kind of what happened with Nicodemus. He shows up. He's going to ask Jesus some questions. Jesus says, let me tell you. I'll tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of the water, and the Spirit. Now, some of you may disagree with me on this. I don't believe that's talking about baptism, even though baptism is important and we should do it. I think he's talking about a natural birth of the water and a spiritual birth in Christ. That's what I think he's talking about here. No one can enter. Now, this is pretty serious. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of the water and the Spirit. Big S. Flesh, it says, flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. When we have the Holy Spirit in us, we should be bearing fruit of the Spirit. So if you're convinced that we need this Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit's important, if the Holy Spirit is God and wants to live inside of us, he's you know, another passage that Jesus says, I stand at the door and I knock. If somebody opens the door, I'll come in. And they invite me, and I'll come in, and I'll dine with them. I'll have fellowship with them. So how can we have this Holy Spirit live inside of us? To me, it's really simple. We ask. We ask. We invite. Jesus said, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? How much more will the Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask? To me, it's a real simple thing. So, I want to just invite you this morning. The Holy Spirit is so vitally important to our walk, to walking out this Christian life that's before us. If you're not sure, I mean, nobody's going to be embarrassed. I'm not going to embarrass anybody about this. But if you're not sure, if as I talk about the Holy Spirit, I think the Holy Spirit will convict you if you don't have Him. If He's not residing in you. If everybody would just bow your heads. If you're not sure, or even if you're sure, but you just want to reaffirm, just want to recommit to having the Holy Spirit in your heart. Just kind of pray this prayer that I walk you through. Heavenly Father, I need you. I need your Holy Spirit. I confess that I'm a sinner in need of your mercy. Forgive me from all unrighteousness that's in me. I claim Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Father, wash me as white as snow and fill me with your Holy Spirit. I'm asking. Father, all I know to do is what you have told me to do, and that's to ask. So I'm asking. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Transform me. Make me a new creation. Fill me with the fruit of your Spirit. In the strong and powerful name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.